that mic fell off and just pulled my ear. Almost pulled it out of its socket. All right. Before I start, I just want to announce to those in leadership, we're going to have a very brief meeting right after service. We have to discuss one particular point, and we want your opinion very quickly. So don't rush off. Stay meeting probably around here somewhere. Yeah. So remember that. During the last 2 months, we've been looking at spiritual warfare. And I found in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 that King Jehoshaphat was in the middle of a warfare. And he inquired of the Lord. And after he heard from the Lord, he and all Israel army took a break from the war and started praising and thanking the Lord for his goodness and for his mercy. Well, we're going to do that today. We're going to follow Jehoshaphat's example. I'm not going to be teaching about warfare today. For those of you who thought, oh, not again. So we are going to concentrate on this special season of the Lord for us as believers. November, December, the end of November and December is a very special time. And we're going to take a break from warfare struggles, and we will concentrate on this season. We're going to look today at faithfulness, because God has been so faithful to all of us. And this is what we call Thanksgiving season. And then as the month progresses, we're going to look at events when God humbled himself and became flesh in our behalf. And that we call Christmas season. Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, I was looking last night, and we started studying on John on Wednesday nights back in October of 2024. This pastor of yours, you just drag things around and teaches word by word. Yet, we have learned a lot about what John had to say about the Savior. But anyway, we went through chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. And Jesus, at that time, had just heard the paralytic that was in one of the pools. And he had been a paralytic for 38 years. And, you know, there's where the angel would come and stir the water. But Jesus went to this particular guy who never had a chance because he was invalid and he couldn't get into the pool when the angel stirred the waters. So Jesus went and healed him. And many people saw that miracle. And then after that healing, Jesus went to the east side of the Sea of Galilee. You know, the Sea of Galilee is part of Israel. And this big sea, Bethsaida, is here. And so Jesus went there after healing that paralytic. And a great multitude followed him. You know, after he did all those things, the healings, a great multitude followed him. And Jesus saw the multitudes and he had so much compassion that he started healing their sick. And so they lingered there in Bethsaida for some time, a day or two. And after he healed all the sick, then the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, Jesus, dismiss that bunch because, you know, we've been here some time. They're probably hungry. And Jesus said, no, you feed them yourself. And the disciples, this is a big crowd. There were 5,000 men at least, and then the women and the children. So scholars believe there were about anywhere from 12 to 15,000. And Jesus did the miracle of the multiplication of the loaf and the fish. And so he fed them all. And, you know, that was another great miracle. After healing all their sick, they fed. He fed them because they were hungry. So they fed their physical hunger. And after that, Jesus and the disciples crossed the lake in a boat and went to Capernaum. Now, you read that and you think, well, that was a big trip. Actually, I wanted to show, here's Bethsaida. This is where he feed the 5,000 plus of women and children. And apparently he went to the edge there and took a boat and went to Capernaum, right through there. That was a journey that Jesus took because he didn't want the crowds to be following. Well, the crowd decided, Jesus went there. We're going to walk through here and get there. And they all, well, not all, but many followed him. And so, so let's look at what happened there when they got in. I'm going to start reading from John chapter 6, verse 25. It says, and when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. Jesus what pointed out, you know, you follow me not because you wanted to be taught something spiritual. You were just wanted some free food. We've seen that out in the natural. And Jesus had that same issue with his crowd. And so Jesus told him, you know, you need to be looking for spiritual food. And then verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? All of a sudden they got religious and say, oh, you found us out, huh? We wanted more food, so we got to pretend that we're religious. And you know, when we get religious, what happens is we want to do something for God, so that then he's obligated to bless us. That is the root of what religion is all about. You know, and Jesus tells them, you know, just believe in the Son. There doesn't need to be any work involved except you believe. You receive what God has said, it can be yours if you meet the requirements. And so Jesus answered in verse 29 and said to them, this is the work of God. In other words, you get religious on me, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Therefore they say to him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Doesn't this sound like many times what we do? You know, we ask, we get religious with God, and we want to do things for God so that he can do things for us. You know, that's not the way God operates. He said he loved the world so much that he gave. See, it was God that gave first. And he gave when we didn't deserve it. And so these religious people, bear in mind now, we just heard that he healed a paralytic of 38 years of illness. He came to Bethsaida and healed all the group's sick people. And then he multiplied bread to feed 12 to 15,000. And they're still looking for a sign. Not only looking for a sign, but a sign so that they can believe him So many times, you know, even in our own hearts, we're saying, God, where are you? Give me a sign, Lord. And, you know, we have had sign after sign and blessing after blessing. And, you know, we just don't see what God has done. And so they ask, what work will you do? And then they sort of brought back Moses and the people in the wilderness. And they said, our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, they were bent on food. And haven't you gotten that way sometimes? I'm sure after Thanksgiving, you open the refrigerator and you close it back again quickly because you don't want leftovers. You'd rather go to McDonald's, Burger King, or somewhere else, get something different. But they just wanted to let Jesus know that Moses gave the Israelites bread from heaven. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Before Jesus told them, don't labor for that, for the food that goes away after a while, but labor for the good food that comes really from heaven. And so they brought Moses and manna, and Jesus corrected them and said, that was a temporary thing. The true need of a man's heart doesn't get satisfied with earthly food. And then he says, my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. And he continued saying, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And he's, of course, speaking of himself. And then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Jesus wanted to make sure. See, they said, give us this bread always. In other words, repeat that miracle you did back there in Bethsaida and give us some more bread. And Jesus says, I'm here. I am really what you need. And you will never hunger. And you will never thirst if you believe in me. You know, as many of you probably have found out, the problem with receiving something on a regular basis is that we come to expect it. You know, I think, you know, this time is has been, at least in our house, a time of cleanup and getting rid of clutter and things and getting new stuff in, or at least organizing, reducing. And so we got a playroom in our house, and it was getting kind of chaotic. You know, kids come and they just do this, that, and the other, and toys had been accumulated for the last 10 years. And so, you know, some are not working, but they're still there. And so my wife deliberately went to the Winn-Dixie and bought some bags of trash, big ones, because our regular ones were full. And she started taking old stuff out and cleaning it up. You know, what used to happen before then was, kids see so many choices of toy and they'll look this and they throw that, look at that one, look at that one, throw. And never, they really didn't play with any of them. They were just looking for something different, I guess. They had so much stuff to play with that they didn't play with any one of them. And so once they get reduced to just a few, then they go there, they sit, and they play with one or two. And we as adults seem to be sort of similar. You know, we have a gimme, gimme, gimme mentality. God, give me this, and God, give me that, and God, give me this other thing. And Lord, I need that. And, you know, God is so faithful and so gracious to somehow meet what we're asking him. And, you know, we forget even sometimes to give thanks. I know that it kind of grieves me sometimes when kids get everything that they want and even more, and after a while they forget to say thank you. They just want, you didn't get me anything else. You know, you come to the store, what you bring me. We as adults get that way with the Lord. It's sad when we as wayward children, we put needs ahead of our physical needs, ahead of our spiritual needs, like these people that the text was talking about. Jesus is really the only real need that we have so that we can live an eternal life of blessing. And yet, we're always pursuing more money, more cars, fancier cars, faster cars, fame, possessions. And you know, many times we achieve those and we never look back to say thanks. We just, what's the next challenge? What's ahead? In the process, we neglect the importance of giving thanks to the giver of all the good gifts. We have been so blessed by God in so many ways. Like my wife was saying a while ago, we can't even count them. You know, we can't even recite them one by one. So in many ways, we're a lot like the people that we are reading about. We want Jesus to give us just one more thing, Jesus. Jesus, demonstrate your power to me one more time. Because I want you to do that so that I can walk surely. And we forget that many times he has come through faithfully and timely. We want another demonstration of his power so that we can believe. It seems to me that it was well past time for those people that we read in John 6. It was way past time for them to believe in Jesus and in the Father who had sent him. And it is well past time for us as well to show our gratitude to him for the gifts he has already given us. See, we're always looking ahead and we don't realize how blessed we are. So many of us are not feeling too blessed even today. We can't even see the gifts that God has given us. Maybe the pain of life has overwhelmed you to the point that you don't see how truly blessed you are. Like many people, you have been so blessed that even the blessings that we have received don't seem that great anymore. Just like the toys in the toy room. Ah, those were last year's. I'm looking for something new. And nothing wrong with looking for something new and fresh. But don't forget that he has been faithful in the past of meeting all the things that you've called for. So if you don't get him when you want them, and this is the point, we want everything now, right? We need to remember he's been faithful so far, and at the right time, he will meet our need. He will bless us with the things that we ask and even beyond what we ask. I want to encourage every one of us to recognize blessing and focus a little more in what we have rather than what we don't have. You know, when we do that, we experience a tremendous improvement in our attitude. You know, we tend to feel like kids that are deprived. And I want you to know that in this land of plenty that we live, you know, we are so far ahead of the rest of the world in goods and services and privileges and blessings. And yet, you know, we are number one nation in taking antidepressants and all kinds of things because we're always seem to be bummed out. Well, there are a few suggestions here I got to see if we can get out of that mentality. I guess it's perspective. You know, we can be thankful that we don't already have everything we want. Because if you had everything that you wanted, what is the purpose of pursuing anything else? I mean, we wouldn't have anything to pursue if we have everything. You know, it sounds to me like when Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, and he says, all is vanity. All is chasing after the wind. Here's a man, he was the wealthiest man because God blessed him, and yet he was dissatisfied. He was pretty much in a lost state. He had declined. He started very good, and then I guess the wealth and having so much, he forgot about the one who provided all of that. And after a while, he had everything. I mean, he tried everything under the sun, and he confessed that it was all meaningless. Some of us sometimes feel that way, don't we? You know, we want some more thrill. We want a greater thrill. We want a greater blessing. And yet, we are the most blessed people in the world. So we can be thankful that we don't have everything we want, so that we can continue on serving the Lord and looking forward to those things that he has called us to. We can also be thankful when you don't know some things, because that gives us an opportunity to learn some more. You know, I pray that all of us are always willing to learn more and we never quit. You know, I was thinking the other day, you know, I like to work on things and do a fair job of certain things, but not on others. And I've always liked to play with electricity, and sometimes I can be dangerous and scary. And I thought, you know, I could probably take an online course on some kind of electrical practical thing. I'm not ready to not learn anymore. And you know, with the Lord, we're always learning. We'll never fully know all things, because only God knows that, and we'll never become gods, okay? Mm-hmm. So that means throughout eternity, which is a very long time, we will be forever learning things. Be thankful for the difficult times. You say, what? You know, if you look back in your life, it is through the difficult times that you have grown in the Lord. You know, we get everything that we want. We get complacent, just like the children of Israel. They went through the desert Their clothes did not wear out. They didn't have to work for food. They were healthy. They had water whenever they wanted it. And after a while, they got complacent and they start murmuring and complaining. Be thankful for the difficult times, because it's during those times that you grow to depend on the Lord, for He is our source. Be thankful for your limitations, because that gives you an opportunity to improve. You know, I don't know everything about electricity that I like to know. Well, that's a place for me to improve if I pursue. Be thankful for each new challenge, because challenges will build strength and character in us. We grow out of adverse times. Isn't it sad that is the way we humans operate? You know, we need to go through hard times to then realize where we really are, who we really are, and what we really need to become. Be thankful for your mistakes, because through them you can learn valuable lessons. Be thankful when you are tired and weary, because that means you made a difference somewhere. You have put your very best efforts and you've accomplished something, whether anybody realizes or not. It is easy to give, to be thankful on the good times, and even then we fail. Isn't that the truth? But a life of true fulfillment can come to those who are also thankful, even when we have setbacks. We don't give up just because things don't go our way. We continue pursuing. And as hard as it may be, we need to find a way to be thankful through our troubles. And those troubles, if we have the right attitude, can turn out to be blessings for us and our loved ones. So as we look around at the land of plenty that we live in, it is my desire that we will see through new eyes each day in the different ways that the Lord has blessed us, and never take God or those blessings for granted. And I'm going to say this, hear me out. Thanksgiving is not a day. In fact, Thanksgiving is not just a holiday. Thanksgiving has to become a lifestyle with us as Christians. You know, we, even at home, well, Thanksgiving is done, thank God. Let's decorate now for Christmas. And we forget, you know, it's not a day. It's not just an event, it is a lifestyle. We have been blessed beyond measure, and we need to give thanks continually to the Lord, because He continually blesses us day by day. We have been given freely the bread of life, and we know, as Christians, we know this bread. We have our eternal hunger already satisfied. We are eternal beings that are destined to spend eternity with the Lord. And that is the greatest blessing. You know, this stuff down here on earth would only be for a season. Eternity will be forever. May we truly be thankful to the God who deserves our thanks. In fact, this scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything. Now, it doesn't say for everything, okay? But it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You want to know what God's will for you is? According to this scripture, you can start thanking Him for what he has already given you to this day. We don't need to look ahead. We know God is faithful. We need to be thankful. Just as like we would like our children to thank us when we bless them. Christmas is coming. And we will be delighted to give our children and our grandchildren presents and toys and gifts and all of that. And you know, it's sad when we do that, we sacrifice our savings and many other things. It would be sad if we don't receive thank you, Dad, or thank you, Mom, or thank you, Uncle, thank you, whoever. That will not encourage us to continue being a blesser. Oh, but when our children come and, oh, I was hoping I'd get this. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. They give us a hug and they show appreciation. Man, you would do anything for those kids or grandkids. Yeah, I know I have a grandma at home that she will do anything for those grandkids. So, don't think that Thanksgiving is done because the day has passed. We're moving into a season where God gave us his greatest gift. And we need to be thanking him for that. That celebration never stops throughout the year. So, as we continue worshiping the Lord and thanking him, let's do that on a regular basis. Okay. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are a giver. You told us in your word that you so love us that you gave your best. Father, we want to say thank you. We don't want to forget. We don't want to take for granted. We don't want to be spoiled to the point that we don't even think except to those things that you're going to bless us with next. Father, let us ponder on the things that you've already blessed us so abundantly with that we may be grateful children. Children of the kingdom, Father, that know how to say thank you for all your blessings. Father, I bless your people and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name.